Amen. All right. Thank you, Nathan. Okay. Everybody get ready to get wonky? Yeah. Let's wonk it on here. Oh, it's going to be fun. If you don't have a job during Vacation Bible School, if you're not doing something, you really should make it up here one night just to kind of come in, especially for the beginning, and see the first 20 minutes. It's spectacular. It really is. Our team just does an incredible job. And prayer starts tonight, I believe, at 4 o'clock, the 25 hours of prayer. We have a continuous prayer team signed up for 25 spots, but that means there's a good spot for you just to pray during this week, all right? Somebody's getting saved. Somebody's about to get saved. All right. Thank you, both of you, for helping me with that. Well, God bless you. Marcia and I saw a movie this week. Have you seen the trailer for the movie Yesterday, the Beatle music movie? We really enjoyed it. We went Friday night. I want to tell you a little bit about it, but not to spoil it. If you see the trailer, you'll understand that there's this struggling songwriter named Jack Malik, and he's trying to write songs. He's got some real songs in his head, but they're not going anywhere. There's a worldwide accident, a power outage, and when he wakes up, because he gets run over by a bus, I'm going to tell you that. He gets run over. When he wakes up, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the whole movie. You don't need to go, send me your $7. But he wakes up into a world without the Beatles. The Beatles never happened. But all these songs that they wrote, the incredible songs, they're still in his head. And so he starts to write them and sing them, and go, oh, man, he becomes an overnight sensation. He's the most incredible songwriter, entertainer in all the world, and just wealth beyond wealth is coming his way. And I'm really not going to tell you, because the way it plays out, it's pretty cool. It really is a song about the song. It's a movie about the songs. You think about the Beatles' songs, they wrote some really amazing stuff. They were brilliant. Tim, the bass guitar, and I were talking. He said, oh, they were just brilliant songwriters, because we grew up in that era. And so it's how the world would be without the songs of the Beatles. And I don't know whether you like them or not, but, man, I was like in junior high when they came out, and they took the world by storm. They just changed culture. Elvis was a king, but the Beatles, man, they were royalty beyond description. It was really dramatically new. If you remember the Beatles, they were famous for their long hair, and that set a lot of people back. I remember my dad just couldn't stand it. And they were so frivolous. They were so childlike. And they just move, you know, goof around, and that didn't make them popular with older people. And then the songs, they would just yell out the lyrics. And that was like what? And like, I want to hold your hand. I mean, whoever sang like that? Or, I mean, really? Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. I mean, my dad was having a cow, because his idea of contemporary music was the latest crooner that would sing. If it wasn't Frank Sinatra, it wasn't Tony Bennett, and you could clearly hear the lyrics, he didn't want anything to do with it. But how many, I'm going to take a real chance here. Is Marcia here? Good. So don't tell her I did this. Did you know? I mean, really, don't tell her, because she told me this morning, if you do that, I'm quitting your church. So did you know the Beatles wrote a couple of gospel songs? They did. Here's a Bible song. Leprosy. I'm not half the man I used to be. There are fingers falling off of me. I believe in leprosy. Why they had to go. No, forget that. Okay, that was the part that she's really upset about. So, I'm interim only anyway. I mean, you know, I'm not here forever. So, and then there was this one, and I've got the lyrics here for you. See if you recognize this. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Did anybody ever notice before now that that's got a religious theme? I mean, it's a Catholic theme. That's Catholic doctrine. Catholicism, they prayed to Mary. And I'm sure that Paul McCartney and John Lennon grew up around a somewhat Catholic environment there in their culture. I never saw anything else religious about them. But did you notice that? So I'm telling you, when I was a kid, it wasn't the Mother Mary part that got me. It was just the tune. It was the way the words rolled out. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. And so why do I introduce this to you? I want you all to get this tune in your head so it drives you crazy the rest of the day. So that you don't forget it. So that tomorrow and this week, you'll be thinking about, let it be, let it be. Because that has to do with today's message. And I'm hoping the tune will drive you to remember these things that we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy. Worthy of what? Well, for you and me and the Ephesians, that's worthy of Jesus. You know, we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior, ask Him to save us. We ask for His life to come into our life. We gave Him our life. We became a Christian, a follower. And we remember that that's all possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. He paid a lot for us so that we could have a lot free to us. But He gave us so much, so why not? Paul's saying, reminding us, live a life that's worthy of what you have been received, of what you have received, what you've been called to. And the key word in all of these three verses is the word be. Verse 2, be completely humble, be patient. Why is that word so important today? And why did I pick the lyric, let it be? And here's why. Here is a profound truth, guys. You showed up on a good day. If you just hear this one thing and this only, believe me, it is really, really important. Here it is. God is not so concerned about what we do as what we become. He's not as interested in what you do, but how you be, what you're going to be, what kind of be are we going to be? It's what kind of person that He's developing in us. He would like to do a lot of cool things through you, believe me, that's important. But how impressed is God ever going to be with what I am able to accomplish? Compared to what He has done, goodness gracious, He created the Grand Canyon. He created all the most beautiful places in the world. He created the stars and the sun and the moon. He put them in orbit, and He did all of that. He created man. He saw me before I was born. He knew that DNA was going to come together, and this was going to make this unique, crazy-eyed beetle lover to sing stupid songs in front of people in church. He knew all of that. What can I do that's so impressive? What is really impressive, though, in the eyes of God, is what I become, and the same thing for you. We're on the eve of something really cool here. We've got Wonkaville going on, and it's going to be spectacular, and 25 kids are going to get saved at least. And let me tell you, we've been doing this for 14 years. And every year, we have so many kids come, and we have this big goal, and we invite so many kids, and we were out there sweating on Wednesday, handing out flyers and those chocolate candy bars, trying to keep them from melting, inviting kids to Vacation Bible School. And why? Man, we're compelling them to come. And New Beginnings is famous for Vacation Bible School. This is on the eve of something really, really spectacular. But in the big, great, big scheme of what God has done, how spectacular. But I tell you what, he is saying, 25 of these kids are going to become believers. And their lives are going to be changed. God is excited about that. We won't do Vacation Bible School in heaven, but we'll be children of God and brothers and sisters in heaven forever. That really is what's going to matter. So what does Paul have to say to us? I'm going to say three things on what we want to be. I look at this man and I go, man, he was certain things. He had certain attributes, and he wrote some amazing stuff in the Bible. But I was thinking in between services about these things he told us. And these were things that he had become. He had become. Greatest preacher of all time. Greatest missionary probably of all time. It was the things that he became that we really learned from. The first one is this. Paul said, be grateful. Not so much in this verse here. He is the one that also said in 1 Thessalonians 5, though, give thanks in all circumstances. I'm jumping on you back there, Mr. Lightboard guy. I'm sorry. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. He's the guy that said that. And here he is back in verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord. We know that Paul wrote this when he was in jail. He wrote this letter to the Ephesians. He was in jail in Rome. He was either chained to a wall, chained to a Roman soldier. He was locked up in some form or another. We can ask him about it later. But the fact is, here's the greatest preacher, greatest missionary of all time. And what would he really, really like to do? He'd like to go out there and preach. He's not also telling, listen, you Ephesians, I can't preach, so you preach. What is he telling them? Be grateful. Be thankful. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord. Paul was a guy that had a thorn in his flesh, but he discovered something amazing because of it. He was patient with the Lord about it, and the Lord gave him a grace that surpassed the weakness of the thorn in the flesh. Paul would say, listen, if I hadn't have been thankful for what I had, I would not have received those supernatural things from God. We should be thankful. You know, we're going to be known around Hollister as New Beginnings that does all these cool things for kids and in the community and in the school. And all of that's good. We got plenty of those planned for the rest of the year. But I will tell you, those things won't change Hollister or our communities nearly as much as if this is a place where people's lives are really changed. And they become somebody. And their marriages are rescued and restored, and families are brought together. That will make us famous in Hollister. People whose lives are changed and they are set free and delivered from addictions and habits and hurts and hang-ups of all kind, that would make in the eyes of the community, New Beginnings, a great church. We do a lot of things, but Jesus says it's who you are becoming that really excites me the most. And I will tell you, I want to make God proud, don't you? I want Him to be proud of me. When I stand before Him, I really want Him to look down with a smile and go, way to go, son. It wasn't the preaching and it wasn't your goofy singing the Beatles, whoever did that. But you loved on those people. You became a good husband. You became a good grandpa. By the way, granddaughter, don't you tell your Nana what I did here today. So how can we break this down where it's really good for you? How about this? Are you married? And is your spouse, your husband, your wife, are they perfect in every way? Of course not. Are you thankful and grateful for them? I don't mean you've got some thankfulness and you're grateful. I mean in such a way that you say, Lord, as a husband, I am so thankful that I am going to let it change the way I think toward this woman and the way I act toward this woman. Lord, you tell me in James to be gentle with my wife, to live with her in a gentle manner, and respect the fact that she's a weaker vessel, and that she is called to be my helper, not my leader. And Lord, I'm going to live with her in such a way, as it says in James, that my prayers will not be hindered. Therefore, Lord, I'm going to live in such a way that I'm gentle with my wife, I treat her with respect, and I show her regular thankfulness, because that's going to make my prayer life powerful. And I'm going to pray about things in my life, Lord. Maybe that's what you want to become, fellas. That kind of guy. Mighty in prayer because you're mighty in your job as a husband. Ladies, what are you supposed to do? In the eyes of the Lord, you're supposed to give that man respect. And here it also says this. And live with him in such a way that you're able to win him without a word. You can live with them that you can influence your husband in a way that he becomes that better man, that better husband, and you do without a word. You better do it without him talking to him. Some of you wives are saying right now, there's no way that knucklehead is ever going to change unless I'm on him all the time about it. Or I tell him, quit, give up telling people. Like your teenagers, quit telling them. They already know. Just let them run. No, I don't mean that. Learn to be the kind of dad, the kind of mom that they will want to be. There you go. That just came to me. Didn't even say that in the first service. You guys always get the bonus stuff. How about your job? Are you thankful for your job? And it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm thankful I got a job. I don't like it, but at least I got a job. I don't like my boss. He's terrible. I talked with a fellow that I hadn't seen forever in the first week, and I said, how's it going? He said, I quit my job. I hated it. I was miserable. I was depressed. And I understand. I really do get that. I had a job like that. And I prayed to the Lord, get me out of this. I hate it. I hate my boss. He's ignorant. I'm 10 times smarter than he is. I was in my 30s. I told you last week I was full of myself when I was in my 30s. But the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to let you learn to be thankful for that job first and be content with it. And the Lord says, by the way, he says, I want you to learn to be faithful with what I've given you, and then I can put you in charge of more. So the Lord taught me to be thankful and then promoted me. And so maybe tomorrow when you go to work, maybe you want to say, you know what? I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to learn to be thankful around here. I'm going to learn that when good things happen around here, I'm going to be thankful. And when not so good things happen, I'm still going to choose to be thankful. Paul said, be thankful in all circumstances. And I'm thankful that God says, if I'm faithful with this one, he'll give me something better, give me something more. How about your finances? Are they all that you want them to be? Are they just perfect in every way? It's highly unlikely. You live in Hollister. Branson, okay? How about this? Paul said, you know, I've learned to be without everything. You know, when they take away everything you got and chain you up in prison, he said, I've learned to be content even when I don't have any money. How about that? You're becoming somebody new when you get to that place in your life. At the, you know, it's not going to be how much money we earn in our lifetime. It's really going to be about how, what kind of person we was when we earned our money. Is that rain? That was a jet. Okay. Dave, your ride is landing for you right now. Your personal jet. Okay, second thing we need to be. Paul says we need to be patient. Be patient, bearing one another. I know what you mean by being patient. It means, okay, I can't change it, so I might as well just be angry and be upset about it. That's not patient. The word bearing up means to carry, to gather it up and carry and hold it and endure it. It's the idea of carrying something that's really heavy and doing it for a long period of time. And he says, with what? What's that load? People. Bearing up with others. This is bearing up with the failings and weaknesses of others. You become somebody really awesome, especially in the eyes of God, when you bear up with others. One, we want to get away from people who cause us that kind of pain and stress. And the Lord says, yeah, but you become great in the eyes of heaven when you carry that relationship. You keep carrying that relationship. And you keep bearing up. And it causes you to be somebody more like Jesus. Come on, let it be. Let it be. We're becoming somebody. And so to be the idea of being patient is not just the idea of just sitting and doing nothing and waiting on God. We're to wait on the Lord. But the real biblical definition of waiting on the Lord is a lot like that person that takes care of you when you go in a restaurant. How many of y'all went in a restaurant this week and ate out somewhere and they had someone that came and brought you your food? What's that person called? Waiter. Waiter. Somebody waits on you is called a waiter. And so why do those people go to work at those places? If it's Steak and Shake or Bob Evans or whatever it is, why did they go to work in there? Just so they could serve you? Why are they there? Somebody say it. Money. Tips. They don't pay them enough hourly wage, by the way, to put up with your stuff. They are there for the tips. Some of y'all have waited tables like I have. You know it's all about the tips. And what do they do to get those tips? They work. They work hard. And they serve. And that's the idea of waiting upon the Lord. Lord, I'm waiting on you to fix my money. I'm waiting on you to fix my marriage. I'm waiting on you to fix me, Lord. I'm the real problem, and I'm not getting it overnight like I would like to. So what do? I wait, and I serve the Lord. Get up and do something. And in that work, you will become somebody new. Come on, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be crabby, so let it be. Marcia's going to say, you made up words. Way to go. There's one final thing before she comes in here that Paul would say we need to be. We need to be at peace. Whew, this is really a hard one. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We all want to be in unity as church members, brothers and sisters, as husband and wife, parent and children. We want to be at, you know, in unity, working together, you know, doing this thing together. And how does that do it? It's the bond of peace. That's what keeps me and you working in the same direction. You're like a layer in a layer in a piece of plywood. Multiple layers. And what keeps those layers all together to make it so strong? The glue. It's the bond between those layers. That's for us is peace. This is the hard one. If you're going to become somebody, you really want to be that somebody in the eyes of God, you got to be a person that makes peace. Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Romans 12, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This means you're going to have to take steps. You know, as far as it's possible, it may not be possible because it takes two people to bond for there to really be lasting peace and working unity. Both parties have to want to work, but he didn't say that. He said, as far as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, you do your part. That years ago, there was a little conflict in church, and two ladies had a spat, and it was over a nursery issue. And I heard about it, and they had sort of some words, and so I called the leader in the bunch. I said, well, what happened? And she goes, well, I went in. She didn't understand. She didn't understand what my job was as a leader, and I asked something. She said, no, she'd been told something else. I said, well, yeah, but this is what our policy. Yeah, but I was really told, you know, this. And she goes, well, listen, I'm the leader, and well, but I was told. This other person was like, I was told. That's what I'm going to do, you know. And I said, so what happened? So she said something ugly, and I said something ugly. I said, well, that's not the way we leave it, is it? I mean, she goes, oh, no, it's okay. She spat at me and I spat back, so I feel like we're even. That's not the bond of peace. What do we need to do? And as we talked about it and I talked about these verses and what with Jesus, he started crying. She goes, I know, I shouldn't have said it. And I don't know, I'm the leader. I have to be the one to pick up the phone and make the phone call. I said, way to go. That's becoming a real leader. And that's what Jesus would have us do, right? He's not so concerned about policies and all that stuff. Jesus is concerned about people. So it's about people. See what I mean? It's not so much what we do. I'll finish up with this. Had a funeral here yesterday, real small one. Our little lady, Lynn Bernhardt, went to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, and they had her memorial, and kids and grandkids, niece and nephews all came from all over. She used to sit right over there at the end of row two and in a wheelchair. That little lady would sit out there and never heard her complain one time, and just loved Jesus, loved you, and she loved you. And when the family got here, it was a cremation, so there wasn't a real service until yesterday. Anyway, when it came in, I said, did someone write the obituary? And they looked at each other and said, oh, we didn't think of that. And so the granddaughter said, I'll write it right now. And she sat down with Lynn's sister and Lynn's daughter and the three of them, and they got it all. You know, that's all about where was she born and who was she married to and who was her parents and who was her children and grandchildren, how many and who she survived by and where she worked. That's all that stuff, you know, that we do. And so they were working on that and working on it, working on it. Finally, we were running about 10 minutes late yesterday, and finally the granddaughter brought it up to me, and she was shaking. And she said, okay, I have it. Oh, this brought back so many memories. And she was crying, and she just started weeping. And it reminded me, when someone is gone, we don't really think about so much what they did, where they worked, all that stuff. You know what really sticks with us? Who they was. Who they was to us. What kind of person was it? This granddaughter was not crying because Lynn had worked here or been born in England. And I wonder if she knew the Beatles. But anyway, what she did and where she lived. It's when she said, when I was little and I came to see my grandma and there was not enough beds for everybody, grandma let me sleep with her. Stuff like that. And when your life is over, it's going to be who you are and who you was is what's going to be remembered. And yes, when you stand before the Lord, and when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be judged. And the Bible says that books are going to be brought forward. What are those books? One of those books is called the Book of Deeds. the things I did, the things you did for the Lord have been recorded. They'll be remembered, and it's part of your reward. And you know what? What's the big deal about that? Not really as much as who you are. God will be proud of who you are more than what you've done. So at work, who are you? At home, who are you? At school, who are you? Let it be. Let you be. Father, thank you so much that it's a simple message, but you made it clear. You've made it clear. You're more concerned about who we are than what we do. May we remember that. May it stick with us like word, a tune and a song. At the end of the day, Lord, this is really what's going to make you proud. It's what's going to make us great in the eyes of heaven. It's what's going to make us great as a church in the eyes of the community. It's because it's a place where people become more like Jesus. That's our prayer. Lord, one last thing. It could be very well that someone is here. And if, to be honest, if I said, do you know Jesus? They would say, no. I know about him. I'm in church. But I've not become somebody new. I'm not really becoming somebody that you're proud of. Lord, I know you love us. Every one of us, unconditionally. You love us so much, you've offered all of heaven for us. But it's up to us to receive that and accept that. It's clear, Lord, that we need to have a day where we become spiritually born. And we can say that was the day I said yes to Jesus. And I asked him to forgive me of my sins. Because I'm not all that I need to be and want to be. And not all that heaven wants me to be. That's the day, Lord, that we say, God, forgive me. And then, Lord, make me who you want me to be. And they trust you to do just that. They believe you, that you want to do that. And they offer their life to you. When they do that, Lord, that's the day they become a Christian. That's how we do it. And today, Lord, there's someone needs to be that. Someone needs to take that step. And for that person,